Good morning, everybody. This week, Louise is away doing her council duties at UBCM. So we wish Louise well in talking with all the various people in various levels of government. And I am joined instead by Joyce Henderson from Shoeswap Theatre. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are you today?
Well, and it's fun to be here. Thank you. Oh. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, it's so delightful to have you because then we get all caught up in all the theatre activities.
And the opportunity to talk about something I'm passionate about.
Yes.
Yes. Lucky, lucky.
Excellent. I think at some point this morning we are also going to be joined by Kim McMillan, who's the director of Mary Poppins. And that is an exciting upcoming production that we'll talk about later on. But first, let's go back to the beginning. So just on the off chance that anybody listening today doesn't know anything about Shoeswap Theatre, give us the two-minute rundown of the beginnings and the... you know, a couple of the ups and downs and all the wonderful changes that have happened just in the last few years.
In 2 minutes?
In 2 minutes.
So Shoeswap Theatre is the organization, non-profit, that brings live theatre to the Shoeswap. Started in as a brilliant idea of a group of people in 1977. They played in various venues, Old Jackson Gym, a little hall out in Tappan. And then in 1980, they purchased a radiator shop and converted it into the current Shoeswap Theatre, which is across from the fourplex of the Selmar.
Right.
Someone said it's the best kept secret of the Salmon Arm area.
Oh.
So we're trying to get over that image. And we have three main productions each year, plus we have seniors theater, improv. We rent the space, so we have some really good musical happenings there.
Mm-hmm.
And currently it is alive and well with lots and lots of new members, new faces, volunteers, and some times it's hard to find directors and producers, so but lots and lots of people involved in the main productions.
Yeah.
I think Rapunzel, which was a Christmas play last year, there were 57 people actively involved. And Mary Poppins, which is coming up this fall, I think there's going to be well over 70 people.
Wow.
So it's...
So it's a passion of a lot of people.
It is.
Excellent. So you just had your AGM.
Last night?
Yes.
We did.
So you're fresh off of that whole, yay, new ideas, and you got a new director, somebody who's had a lot of background in theater.
So there are 8 people on the board for this next coming year.
Mm-hmm.
7 are people who were on this past year's board. Glenda Marchand, Kim McMillan, Marcus Smith, B. Kirkwood Hackett, Cherry Bowlby, Kathy Moore, myself, and Kim McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
And a new face on the board is Hamilton McClymon. He and his wife Liz just moved here last November, but he's always been in theater all his working life.
Mm.
And so we are all excited that he brings his expertise to the board. So looking forward to it. Vibrant board again this year.
Yeah, it's so exciting to get somebody new on the board who's new to the community. It's a fresh set of eyes, and there's always these ideas that get brought in from the other person's experience. Gets everybody excited again, doesn't
it? Lots of new ideas they bring, people bring.
Yeah, right. And I think that, I mean, that's pretty vital. You know, when we talk about sustainability of organizations, you know, we need more diversity of thought because otherwise, you know, we all end up thinking the same way. And then we don't really try anything new, right? So continuing to encourage the diversity is a critical part.
And you look at our volunteers. We have an amazing number of new people have signed up in the last few years. So we have lots and lots of volunteers, lots of new faces around the theater.
Yeah.
And all of those people bring new ideas, enthusiasm, so really expands the capacity of Shoeswap Theatre.
Fantastic. Well, we just saw the arrival of our very famous director, Kim McMillan.
The late Kim McMillan.
Yes. Well, not quite. Don't put it that way. That's kind of ominous. But yes, that's fine. There's a lot of construction outside the radio station, and we're all kind of scrambling to figure out how to get here. And so, sorry, did you have a traffic issue?
No, I had a... I thought I was supposed to be here an hour from now.
Oh, how fascinating. Well, you know, our listeners get up earlier than the usual crowd, so that's why. Sorry.
Maybe you're on Hawaii time.
Perhaps.
Anyway, good to see you.
Yes. So we were talking about getting a new director on the board of Shoesop Theatre, which is fantastic. And now I just want to talk about some of your upcoming things right quick here, because now that Kim's here and once he's caught his breath, we can talk about Mary Poppins. So talk about the exciting event you have coming up this coming Friday.
So Sensei the Storyteller is this Friday. It's Mark Akeda from Calgary has created this hour-long show around the Japanese internment during the Second World War. He discovered that his grandparents were interred during that time. And so he looked at history, did a lot of research, interviewed people, and so has created this show of dance, drama, storytelling, to tell the story for that time from a family point of view, from a Canadian's point of view. So it'll be an exciting show. It's 7:30 this Friday. And then the next day, Saturday, from 10 until 1 at the theater, he is going to do a workshop, improv workshop.
Oh, really?
So wow. The workshop is free to Shuswap Theater members, $10 for non-members. Sansi the Storyteller on Friday night is $12, cash at the door, or you can buy tickets ahead of time at our ticket agent in Twine Fiber Arts on Hudson Street.
Okay. Well, that sounds really exciting. That's another great thing about when people come to the community and they're willing to share their skills as well as their entertainment. That's really nice. So is that part of a bigger project that Shoesop Theatre has been involved with? Or
no, this is made available by a grant from BC Multiculturalism. Mm. And it's interesting because this weekend is Multicultural Weekend in British Columbia.
Oh, okay.
And so many, many communities are putting on events in celebration of Multicultural Days.
Oh, BC Culture Days, right.
Yeah, BC Cultural Days, right.
We can say multicultural, that's fine.
Okay. Well, it's a multiculturalism grant, so that's where my mind was coming from.
Yeah.
But I would add that in another sense, it is part of a bigger initiative that we've been making, which is to try and get more outside groups to come and perform here in Salmon Arm and in our building. So in that sense, it is part of a bigger thing, bigger strategy, if you will.
Right.
And the main event that has been developed that allows that is Theater on the Edge, which happens in the summertime in July. Mm-hmm. And so theater groups from all out throughout the area and from the coast come and put on shows for 3 days in the third weekend of July. So all that excitement, outside entertainment coming to the Shoesop.
Yeah. So it kind of lays groundwork in a way, right? Where we've learned to accept experimental theater and other people's stories and be able to integrate them into our own experience.
True.
Yeah. I think that's fabulous. Good for you guys. So that's something that's just been a development over the past few years.
It had been an idea. The Theater on the Edge had been an idea for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But getting it to happen takes a lot of work. And fortunately, Jackie Mativier stepped forward and said she would be head up the happening. Mm-hmm. And so then that has allowed it to become from a vision to a reality.
Right. You always need somebody that just wants to take the lead, don't you? Like, it's great to have a whole group, a whole core of people behind you, but somebody has to have a vision. And that person, if they're capable of following through their vision, can make magical things happen.
It was Julia Boddy's vision that she'd talked about for 5 years.
Oh, yeah?
Nice. It was Jackie that made it reality.
still, it's still pretty great to have people that are willing to step up.
Exciting.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's what we just said about theater people. You guys are very passionate, very excited about what you do. So it's
we
good.
We are.
Yeah. So there's a lot of energy that comes with that. So congratulations on that. Okay. So before we get to Mary Poppins, Theater on the Edge just happened for the second year, right?
True.
And so was there an increase in participation in audience and
tickets,
the other
groups? Sold for the shows increased by 30% this
Excellent.
Year.
Excellent.
And there were more outside people. People came from Kamloops, came from Kelowna, Vernon, just to stay for the weekend to watch the place.
Wow.
So it's over the year, it gained a reputation of being the place to be.
Fantastic.
To see exciting theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, very exciting. Because that, I think that feeds your other works too, right? Don't you find that there's been more of an appetite for things that are not just happy comedies and, you know, things that make people feel comfortable and in their seats?
Certainly the audiences have increased.
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing plays that are not just comedies or musicals, which mm-hmm. is has been the sort of the main focus in the theater before, to bring lots of crowds in. But now there is an audience that's open to ones that have a bit of edginess to them, shows that have a bit of edginess or challenging thinking.
Mm-hmm. Thought-provoking.
Yeah, yeah. Like there was the one, I'm sorry, I'm really terrible with remembering the names of things, so, but there was a lot of digital media, and it was about the boy who had...
Oh, Distracted.
Yes, that's the one. Wow, that was very powerful.
A boy with ADHD.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And I remember there were warnings at the beginning. There's swear words in here. And I'm thinking, wow, that's really... I mean, that's kind of funny in today's media, that it seemed like there had to be big warnings about profanity in Salmon Arm. But I guess that's what you have to do, right? Make sure people are aware. But it was still like... It was just an amazing production that brought a lot of attention to a family situation that's pretty common. More common than we want to believe, I'm sure. So that was, I mean, I just thought that was a little bit controversial and maybe opened the door for a lot of audience members to say, wow, that was totally worthwhile going to. Don't you think?
I think so, yes. And what is it? The computer store really lent a lot of...
Faster than light computing.
Faster than light computing. They lent a lot of technology to the... So it was possible to put mm-hmm. on that...
And city furniture as well, the wow. big screen TVs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that sort of opens the door of the wide support that we have from the community mm-hmm. for from different businesses, from different funding groups.
Yeah, because theater is important storytelling, right? Absolutely, right. Yeah. Today on Artscape, we're talking about Shoe Swap Theater, and now I'm very delighted to introduce Kim McMillan, the director of the upcoming production, Mary Poppins. So let's talk about this incredibly ambitious idea and, of course, a concept that a lot of people are familiar with, and so in a way you have a lot of expectations placed upon mm-hmm. you. And so tell us about the process first. Who decided that it was going to be a good idea to have Mary Poppins?
Well, I generally direct a play every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so this was my season to do it. And so I was casting my mind around for what kind of a play I'd like to do and when in the season and so on. And there was talk about maybe it's time we did another major musical. Little Shop of Horrors was the last one that we did, and it was a huge success.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And I am a musical person, so I thought, well, maybe it's time I tried a musical. And I was looking for a small cast musical because we have a small theater. And but nothing I found really just turned my crank. So I think it was Julia Boddy, one of our other directors, who had thought about doing Mary Poppins after seeing it in Kamloops and thinking, she had some ideas about how we might be able to fit it on our little stage. So as soon as I heard the name, my heart leaped, because I guess like so many others, I have great warm associations with the movie, even though I hadn't seen it for years and years. And I think because I have a bit of a tenuous grasp on reality, I decided that maybe I would take this on. If I could find myself a good musical director and a good choreographer, if I didn't have that in place to start with, I wasn't going to even touch it. So I managed to talk Gene McLennan, who's the music director at the United Church and co-directs the men's chorus, Searsop Men's Chorus, and so on. And I knew of her musical capabilities, so I teased her with that idea. And before I even had picked a play, and then one day I went up to her and I said, "Mary Poppins," and she said, "Ooh, that's my favorite musical of all time. I watched it when I was 7. I know all the music by heart." She was hooked. She was absolutely hooked, and she has put heart and soul into this. It's wonderful,
nice.
Wonderful to work with her. And similarly, I approached Carolyn Wanacott from the Shuswap Dance Center and said, "Would you choreograph it?" And without hardly a hesitation, she said yes. Mm-hmm. And so she and Raylin Heppel, who is one of her instructors at the dance center, are doing that. So putting all that together, it was then, okay, yeah, we're into this.
Yeah.
And the challenges are quite significant. It's a big show. We have a small space. So multiple people playing multiple roles, but still there's going to be probably 30 people in that tiny dressing room that we have doing makeup and costume changes. And
oh my gosh.
So it's going to be exciting, but the cast we have is fantastic.
Okay, so how do you go about building a cast for such a diverse production that has all of those multi-levels? You need dance and singing and acting and voice projection and a presence on stage. How do you do that?
All those things, yeah. So... Excuse me. The auditioning process was longer. We had more sessions than we've ever had before, as far as I know, because each one had to have all three of those components. So there would be, you know, I'd give them a little piece of scene to act out, mm-hmm, just to read, and then Gene would do a brief music thing to find out whether they could carry a tune, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
We got information about their backgrounds. And then Carolyn taught them on the spot a little, you know, a fairly simple set of dance steps. And so then they would try that, and we could just see how quickly people picked them up and so on.
Wow, it's so stressful. It feels like the movies, you know, it's like watching Fame or something.
Indeed, it was certainly more complex, and then trying to sort through all of that stuff and try and make the best choices. Mm-hmm. And there were lots of very talented people who didn't get roles.
Yeah.
Especially the women. There's always way more women show up than men.
Yeah.
And but we've been very lucky. I'm so pleased with the people that we have, and they're learning fast, they're committed, they're excited.
Yeah.
And
you have young people in this cast, right?
We do, yeah.
Yeah. What's your youngest cast member?
Probably maybe 14.
Wow.
So we have a group of dancers, trained dancers, mm-hmm, that are sort of the chorus, and so they play a number of roles. They play strollers in the park and let's go fly a kite or it's a jolly holiday with Mary, and they play chimney sweeps in Step in Time, and they're also going to be the set changers as chimney sweeps.
Right. Fun. I love that kind
so,
of thing.
So again, and they're just going to wow people with the dance sequences, which some of which are very, very similar to what the Broadway production did.
Yeah.
So these are really skilled dancers.
Wow.
And it's going to be great.
And so, and your oldest cast member, you've got some veterans in there?
We do. I hesitate to mention names because I'm not sure who the oldest are.
Well, okay, we'll not talk numbers, sorry, like the experienced.
Well, we've got some really experienced people.
Yeah,
Hillary Brown, who we've seen in Well, Farewell recently, and in Rapunzel as the witch.
Oh, yeah.
She's playing Mrs. Brill, the housekeeper, and she's already got the British accent, and she's just perfect for that role.
Nice.
Andrew Roberts.
You don't have to whisper, you can say.
I wasn't going to mention Andrea in the context of the older actors.
Okay, I should have taken that back. Okay, let's... I just know that when you have a mix of experienced people and the young new crowd, it's such a great exchange of skills.
Oh,
like
it
they
is.
Learn from each other, right? So
exactly.
I'm sorry to have used the oldest term, but but yeah. That's all I mean is that the nice balance.
We've got some old pros and the younger people, the less experienced people, really learn a lot just from watching how they work.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, sometimes they'll give little tips and advice. And Hillary's our accent coach as well.
Oh, nice. Are you going to try to actually all have British accents?
Yes.
Wow. That's ambitious, too.
And again, they're picking it up so quickly. I'm just amazed.
Yeah.
Because musical people pick up accents generally easier.
Oh.
Because they already have an ear.
Yeah.
Right? They pick up the nuances a little bit.
Yeah.
So with a little coaching, they do it pretty well. So probably won't be perfect, but I think it'll be good enough that
even a slight accent will give us the sense, right? Like that feel of being in that time in England.
The whole British class system is such an important part of the story and the context. So we felt to try and do it without accents at all would be difficult.
Mm. Yeah.
And would shortchange it.
Yeah. Well, that's great that you're honoring the real place and time.
Yeah, and people love doing it.
You know? I guess, I'm just thinking, it's probably one of the only nonprofits where people, show up to do what they're volunteering for, literally, bouncing and excited to be there.
Yeah, that's right.
That's amazing.
And the amount of volunteerism hours required to put on a production from not just to the ones in stage, but the set builders, the stage managers, hours and hours of, full time.
Yeah,
it must feel. So do you actually start in the post-school, post-work hours of, do you do rehearsals and, a lot of, the building and the rehearsing after, literally evenings because people have actual day jobs?
Yeah. The dancers are basically, they're dancing every evening, so, and not for our show. They have their own shows they're doing at the same time.
All right.
And so they have to rehearse for us on weekends, for the most part. But we have, some of our music rehearsals are in the afternoon, late afternoon, 3 to 5.
Oh, yeah. Post-school hours.
And the others, would be in the evenings.
Yeah.
So
what, are we talking 6 weeks out, 2-3 months out before production? How much
typically
time?
We have about a 7-week rehearsal period. This one is 12.
Wow.
So we push the whole thing a month later, so it doesn't open until November 25th instead of late October.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll take the place of both our fall and our Christmas show.
Oh, okay.
But we need that length of time to put something
but
of this size
that
together.
Was so awesome to watch you in the Christmas pantomime.
This is just a hiatus for this year.
Yes,
it'll
course.
Be back again next year.
Oh, I know. And you have to do that. Every once in a while, you have to change things up just to really, give people first of all, we get comfortable in a routine, right? In a scheduled routine. And they always do that. Oh, they always do that. You have to change things up. Change the schedule just to... just to make it fresh for everyone. It's okay. It's good. You don't even have to promise to bring it back. Maybe it gets replaced by something totally new and amazing. So it's okay.
And just as a caution for your listeners, there's a couple of other changes in this show. The price is a little bit higher because it's very expensive. The royalties are very expensive for a musical like this. And we've also moved it to 7 o'clock instead of 7:30 for the evening shows because of the number of kids. Well, we have kids in the cast, but also kids in the audience.
Yeah.
So we thought, and it's a long show.
Yeah.
So we thought, let's start at 7. And we really want to get that word out that it's not at 7:30 as usual. It's at 7. So please don't be late.
Yeah, yeah. I know, and that's important. You don't want the doors to be closed when you get there.
And there's an extra show the last Sunday which is normally the play finishes on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
This for Mary Poppins, there's an extra show Sunday afternoon. So there are actually three matinees, three Sunday afternoons in the course of the run.
Oh, that's good too. Lots of opportunity.
And already a lot of tickets have been sold. Enough tickets for one night being sold out.
Wow.
So we anticipate that most of the performances will be sold out, so encourage people to get their tickets early.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing when you have a great, huge cast, too, right? There's a million family and friends that want to see
that's right.
their kid.
Multiple times, even.
Yeah. It's actually a really good thing to involve young people in productions because just exactly that reason, right? You introduce a whole different group of people to theater every time you do that.
Yes.
So it's awesome. And you're building audience.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's not just, I mean, it's important to build community. It's important to tell stories and to build relationships and everything. But your audience is what kind of keeps the place rolling for the next year, right? So you want to make sure that all the people that want the opportunity have the opportunity to see it. So that's good. You guys are, and also the 3 weekends is continuing, like going over.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the other happening is on the Thursday night. So there are 2 Thursday night evening performances,
mm-hmm.
and each of one of those is pay as you can. So, as Kim says, the prices for Mary Poppins had to be increased to make sure we had enough income mm-hmm. over the production. But on Thursday night, it's pay as you can. So people come and put $2 in. People put $30
in.
$50
in. That seems
but
criminal.
If you can only afford $2, then you can still come.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
as I say, some people put 20, some people put 30.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an evening. There are no reserved seats, so people just come and pay yeah. what they can.
Yeah.
And
that's great. It does make it very accessible, so that's good.
And because it brings people in who have never been to live theater in their entire lives.
Wow.
And they're often go out really excited with what they've seen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
again, it builds audience. It builds the
well,
whole thing.
How can you not leave excited? How can you not leave the theater feeling so fulfilled and so like, I'm going to do this every night?
The motive of that decision was that everybody should be able to see live theater.
Yeah.
It should not be dependent on how much money you have.
Yes.
Everybody should be able to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you want to come to the pay-as-you-can Thursdays, come early.
Yeah.
It will sell out. I'm sure we'll have to turn people away from the door.
Yeah, you probably, because there's lineups, right, before you even start. So if you see the lineup wrapping around the block, then maybe it's a sign that maybe try next week. Talking with Joyce Henderson and Kim McMillan about all of Shoe Swap Theater's wonderful goings-on. And Kim reminded me that it's pretty important to know who the lead characters are in a production. So first of all, who is playing Mary?
Well,
is it a surprise? Is it like a
No, we're quite willing to say who's playing
CIA.
Mary. But when you're directing something like this, that choice of Mary and Bert and Mr. and Mrs. Banks are key, but especially Mary and Bert and the kids. So we were very pleased when Andrea Roberts expressed an interest in playing the role.
Wow.
And she's done some acting, she's done some dancing, but her voice, if anybody's heard her, is you know, she's no second to Julie Andrews. She can reach those high notes without effort, it seems.
Yeah.
So, and she's just doing a great job picking
so
up the Mary role.
Yeah.
And then we found Aidan Sparks to play Bert.
Oh, really? How perfect.
and Aidan sings well. He's has some dance training, and he's certainly done lots of acting. So, and he's got charm.
Yeah.
Which Bert has, right?
Yeah.
And the two kids, Molly Tudan as Jane, and Griffin Weber as Michael, and Griffin was in the
Our Town?
In Our Town, yes,
yeah,
at Caravan Theater this summer. So, and the two of them are just doing so well. I'm just
excellent.
So pleased with them. They
yeah.
can sing, they can dance, they can act.
Yeah.
And Newcomer is Mr. Banks, is Hammy McClimont, mm-hmm. who's spent his life, well, he's our new board member as well, spent his life in the business end of theater, and happy to be on stage after quite a few years. A wonderful voice.
Wonderful.
And great presence. And then our own Michelle Holmes is playing Mrs. Banks. Mm-hmm. So she's played all these kind of badass women over the last while, and she's such a nice person. And finally she gets to play a nice person.
She probably likes the badass roles.
Well, I think she might.
Oh, that's exciting. Wow. So you're right. There's kind of a draw that happens because of your lead characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're all strong. So, again, you want a production where there's no kind of significant weaknesses that kind of draw energy from the rest. We don't have any of that.
Yeah.
It's all going to be great.
It's a golden cast.
Not that I'm biased or anything.
No, of course not. No.
So the talent is not only on the stage.
Yeah.
It's the set building crew, the stage managers. Behind the scene, there are lots of people.
And costume design and costume making.
Yeah, Karen Heider is doing our costumes, and she's just finished doing the costumes for Opera Kelowna for the Magic Flute.
Wow.
And the fellow who played, I've forgotten his name, but the sort of the villain in the opera, told her that he's played this role all over Canada, and he's never liked a costume as much as the one that she made for him. So
she's
an up-and-coming talent, I'll tell you, in our community. So
excellent.
And she's volunteering all her expertise to do costumes for Mary Poppins.
That's such a gift. Holy cow. Like, I mean, I come from the space where I really believe very strongly in supporting artists, right? And the one thing that we try to give them is actual money. Because, you know, it's hard to eat exposure, right? But I do really appreciate when people show up and say, I want to volunteer my time to do this thing because I'm passionate about it and I want to see it done well. And they're willing to give you that gift. I think that's fabulous. So wonderful. So you,
absolutely.
Do you have to, just because I know about how a caravan works, do you have to pay, like, are you involved with all the pay equity stuff with acting or
no we're strictly volunteer.
Okay, so not a single person gets paid for anything except in laughter and well wishes.
There's the very odd occasion when we in the past, not for a while, but where we haven't had somebody to do hair, for example, and we've had to actually pay somebody to do some hairstyles for mm-hmm. us or something like that. But that's rare. We almost always have people willing to volunteer that.
Wow.
And they have been paid a nominal amount. Not
that's right.
Equivalent to what they would be paid if they were doing it as professional employment.
Right. Because, I mean, I'm also being in a nonprofit field, know about making sure that you're balancing your books. And there's a weird little bullseye at the end of the year that you're supposed to hit that comes to zero, which is a really hard target to exactly hit. So I fully recognize what a balancing act it is already and that you're not permitted to be in deficit at all. So it's on top of being excited and passionate about your creative process, you have to be so mindful of every penny that goes out mm-hmm. or every nickel now as the case is and can't count pennies anymore, but it's just it's a real balancing act. So I do appreciate what the theater must have to go through just to make sure you land on the zero at the end of it all.
Or a plus.
Well, a plus is possible too, but not too much plus, right?
But it depends on who your funding sources are
too.
Some require you to be at zero.
Yeah,
we are able to accumulate small surpluses if we have them, but only to a point.
But still, things are looking pretty sustainable down there.
Very sustainable. Excellent. We're doing really well, actually.
Oh, that's so great.
I mean, we've been able to make significant improvements to our building and our technical capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's another thing too. That I mean, you're under constant pressure to upgrade all your digital systems and everything, right?
Yeah.
We're excited by a grant we got from Shuswap Community Foundation, which allows us to upgrade our lighting console.
Oh.
And we'll have a lot more capacity for lighting.
Mm-hmm.
increased number of dimmers, light various parts of the stage, increased capacity. So that's very exciting.
Yeah. I remember Carla Krenz years ago accepted a grant from the foundation for lighting for the Sick Moose Amateur Theater. And she said, or no, was it Carla? Yeah, I think it was. She told the story about how the lighting existed then. Everybody looks like half ghosts on the stage because they look just like they're floating because they were brightly lit from the waist up, but nothing from the lower half. So they all look like these little half ghosts. Anyway, so it is important. Lighting's important.
Yeah. And our lighting director, Jean Anger, came to us from Quebec. He's a professional, but he does volunteer work for Shuswap Theater.
Yeah.
And he likes to use every instrument, and he'll have them on weird little places on the stage for special effects, so on. So he'll make good use of the extra capacity of this board.
Yeah. Oh, it's very exciting. Good for you guys. I know that's a skill on itself, too, grant writing. So you must have a very diverse group of people that are pretty passionate about all aspects of theater.
True.
Okay, so let's talk about next up. So your season has been released.
It has.
So your next production after Mary Poppins will be?
Stereotype High, directed by Julia Boddy.
Oh.
It's will be the end of February, first part of March. And it's has a teenage cast. Mm. It's about all the angst, the interactions of teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally diverting from our normal cast that's on the stage, to have the main cast all being teenagers. And the hope is that also teenagers will be doing the lighting tech work as well as the on the stage. And Shuswap Theater veterans will mentor them in those roles. So that's exciting to be going to a new direction around who is on the stage.
And I think we're also filling a need in that regard as funding cutbacks in the school system have reduced the drama programs really quite drastically over the last few years. There's a need, there's a desire on the part of young people to have opportunities to do this. So it's a good play. It's well written. So it's going to appeal to, I think, anybody who's ever been a teenager.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so many of us have. So.
Yeah, yeah. And it's up to date. It represents the world, you know, that teenagers inhabit now. And that ongoing battle to figure out who you are and be that in spite of the stereotypes or the labels that people put on you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're anticipating that this is going to be a high-quality show. And there are a few adults in the cast as well, I think mainly teachers.
Oh, yeah. Well, what an interesting... I mean, that's excellent that you're, tackling another sort of current issue, right? And so it's going to be opening some eyes to subjects that maybe we don't know about. And probably people who don't have teenagers in their household will be interested to know what is going on these days with teenagers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a whole different world than it was even 10 years ago. And unless you're living it, you know, we're just not aware.
So yeah.
This form of storytelling is still so valuable.
And it's touching. It's, as to watch the kids on stage, you know, develop, you know, become more who they are and step outside of the roles that have been assigned to them.
Mm.
And there's some funny bits too. There's lots of good humor, even though it's a serious play, but it's also funny.
Yeah. So how many cast members are we talking?
I think 9, 10.
Okay. Something like that.
Yeah. And then at least a dozen roles backstage for teens too then, right? Yeah. And that was so great, the mentorship part.
And talking about the future plans, the last week in May is the Okanagan Zone Drama Festival here in Salmon Arm.
Oh, it's going to be here.
It's going to be here.
That's exciting.
So for 6 nights, theater groups from Kamloops to Karamuyas will each put on a play, a full play. They'll be adjudicated, and the next morning anyone will be available. Invited to come and hear the adjudicators working through the parts of the play and giving information, advice.
Wow.
So that's going to be an exciting week.
Yeah. What an opportunity for people that live here.
It's great learning. great yeah. learning just to see that many plays. And then if people are free to take in the coffee critiques the following morning, you learn so much about what makes for good drama. And you watch a skilled director work with the actors and take a scene from the play and develop it further and squeeze more juice out of it, as I put it.
Yeah.
So.
And each theater company will bring a play that sort of is their best, which really show off their talents, their expertise. So it'll be an exciting week of drama.
Right. So do you think, like, is that something that they plan ahead of time, like the year's season, that you know which play you're going to put in the Ozone, and then you do that one last, right before Ozone? Is that normally the way it works?
Normally, yeah.
But what happens if something you do at the beginning of the season is unbelievably fantastic?
They have to choose which play. So when a theater company, such as Shushop Theater, is planning the play they're going to enter in Ozone, they look at ability to display their talent. They look. You have to set up the stage very quickly. You have a limited time to set up your set. So the set has to be fairly simple. Mm. So like something like Mary Poppins could not be possible to put on at Ozone. It's just too complex.
Yeah.
And so many factors contribute to them deciding what play they're going to present to the drama festival.
Right.
Yeah, it's not unknown for a company to take an early season play and remount it for festival, but it's pretty rare. Most of them decide ahead of time which is their festival show, and they put that at the end of their season.
Right. And also, because you're dealing with all of these people who have day jobs and lives and stuff, to reassemble a cast again must be difficult, whereas if it's just at the end of a production, everybody's kind of still invested and ready to go, right?
Yeah, it's easier to do with a small cast show.
Ah, yes. And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
So today's dramatic moment happened right here in Salmon Arm last night. I heard that there was some sort of disruption in the atmosphere, some kind of explosion in town. Joyce, tell us what happened.
Last night we burned the mortgage.
Woo!
The mortgage for the city has been paid off this year.
That is dramatic.
I imagine holding the mortgage in one hand, lighting a corner of it with a match in the other hand, and watching it burn. But Jean Langer, whose background is Cirque du Soleil, is excited about pyrotechnics. Ah, when I presented the problem to him, he said, I will make it explode. So last night, the meeting, which was the annual meeting of Shushop Theater, began with Lois Higgins telling the story of how the mortgage came into being in 1980. And then we all went outside. Jean had prepared well. He had an area that we had to stand behind. This is in the alley out
zone.
Behind the theater. He had warned us that there would be 40 seconds of sparkles and then there'd be an explosion. And that was totally true. We all stood there expectantly with cameras, watching the sparkles going off, and then Bart's muffler staff was still there, and they didn't come rushing out. But we did have the fire extinguisher right in nearby in case something happened.
That was very dramatic.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. If you check our Facebook page, there'll probably be a video of it up soon if it's not up now.
Yeah. That's actually a big milestone. Congratulations. So now you're free and clear. Now you can do whatever you want to the building.
That's right. We can take out another mortgage.
Oh, that's true.
And talking about the building, I just want to share a couple of things that are happening.
Absolutely.
We are redecorating the lobby. Mm. Big move forward, because it has been dramatic with those dark, dark wine walls. Some people have said, too dark. So a new plan has been developed.
I don't think dark is too dramatic. I think drama is what you want. Okay, my opinion.
So that's going to happen, I think, in October. And so for Mary Poppins, there will be a new look to the lobby in the theater. Also, or a sloop. System is being installed.
What's that?
It's a system that assists people who are hard of hearing.
Oh, okay.
It's a wireless system, so there's this loop of wire is installed, in our case, under the seats. And so people with at least a reasonably up-to-date hearing aid go to their audiologist and have them activate the T-coil, it's called, or telecoil, in their hearing aid. Then they can tune in to this loop, and it makes a huge difference for an awful lot of people.
Wow.
And a lot of our audience is older, and so I think it'll affect a lot of people. They'll be able to hear much better.
Interesting. So what it'll do is pick up just the voices on stage and transmit that to them?
Yes, we've bought three special, very high-end microphones that all sort of point down at the stage.
Oh, yes.
And so those go through an amplifier into the loop, but it can also be played into the house as well if mm-hmm. we want to amplify what's going on stage.
So interesting.
Yeah.
High tech.
So we sort of look at the theater and say, oh, what needs to happen next to make it more friendly, more suitable place for live theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so down the road, we're talking about putting a new floor in the stage, which is pretty, has sort of soft spots, apparently.
Oh.
So if you put a piece of furniture...
And uneven spots, yeah.
If you put a piece of furniture and one is on a soft spot, it's really hard to have it looking straight.
Oh, yes.
So that's down the road. That's not...
Okay, I have a suggestion. So it just so happens that I was in London and saw Les Mis at the Queen's Theatre. They have a rotating stage.
Oh, yes. I've seen it.
Oh, it was so cool because all the scenes where they had to walk down a street briskly, they did. They walked, you know, groups of people walking down streets. And because it looked cobblestoney, I don't know if it actually had that texture, if it was just... some kind of magical effect, but it really appeared like nighttime in the rain, you know, wet streets, kind of cobblestone. It just had the most unbelievable effect.
It did, yeah.
It just was awesome.
Oh, I'd love to have a Revolve under our stage, but it's concrete under there, so we don't really have that capacity.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's always fun to dream and imagine that you can, I don't know, just have all these cool doodads that make things magic. But you make a lot of magic on your own anyway, so it's okay.
I haven't seen any magic wands around, so I think we have to stick with reality.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, not too much reality.
No, that's your skill. Yeah, that's your skill, right?
I have a tenuous grasp on reality.
That's right. You're suspending disbelief, and that's what the magic is. And people show up, and they're ready. They're ready for the story.
They want to see the magic.
Yes.
They want to believe the magic.
Yeah, yeah. So it actually is quite a lot easier. You guys are
lots of magic in Mary Poppins.
Yeah. And because it's, you know, we don't often break out into song in real life, too. Like, there's something that happens at a musical that, I don't know, makes you feel like you're just swept up. It's pretty exciting. Yeah. So anyway, what else is going on at the theater? What other little details coming up do we need to know?
Well, every Tuesday morning from 9 until 11 mm-hmm. is Seniors Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone is welcome. You don't have to be a senior. You could be 35 and still be welcome. But you need to enjoy laughing. It's 2 hours of using your brain, your creativity. Even if you didn't have any, you discover, aha, I can be creative about that.
Yeah.
And a fun, fun 2 hours.
Excellent.
Monday and the first and third Monday are improv in the evening at 7 o'clock. And anyone is welcome to come. Again, it's sort of stretching your... abilities around being creative, spur of the moment.
Thinking on your feet.
Yeah.
You know, interacting with others spontaneously and creating a story together, things like that.
That is also a very admirable skill, improv.
Mm-hmm. And it's great training if you're interested in acting, too. It's a great skill to have.
So is this like a drop-in where you actually learn, or is this a performance where you're going and watching people do improv?
Totally event, both events, Seniors Theater and Improv. You're welcome, you arrive, you just are involved. There's no sitting back and watching.
Ah.
And it's also in both cases, well, more in Seniors Theater. It's just a drop-in. You can come one Tuesday morning a month, or you can come four. Improv, they like to build a core of people who come every week. And then look at putting a presentation on for an audience, but the improv, the first and third Monday, are being totally involved. No sitting, watching someone else.
You can just come and play.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no pressure to be part of the performance group that that puts on the actual shows.
Wow. Well, it's very exciting. And so in the senior theater, is there, like, are people creating in terms of, like, writing short plays, writing skits?
Not writing plays, but an example would be there would be photographs on the wall. You would work with a partner, you'd choose one photograph, and then you would write, create what you think is happening in that photograph.
Mm.
What are the events around it, the context of the photograph?
Mm-hmm.
So there was, last summer for Theater on the Edge, a group of members who had been doing senior theater all year worked outside the normal seniors theater to create a play and put on a play for Theater on the Edge.
Oh.
Peter Blacklock worked with them around playwriting, but that's not normally a part of seniors theater.
Mm-hmm.
That's outside.
That was the Keeners, right?
Yes.
And they got a standing ovation after that show.
Wow.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was very moving.
Oh, fascinating.
And it was vignettes, you know, that were all kind of interconnected a little bit. But
nice.
But they did a great job.
Well, I suppose, like, ideas get born out of seniors theater that they want to pursue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then there's opportunity. There's people with experience. And
seniors theater is now feeding people into Shoe Swap Theater who are interested in acting or singing or backstage work.
Yeah.
But I want to stress that there's no commitment. When
right.
you come to seniors theater, it's for the moment,
mm-hmm.
enjoying it, stretching your thinking processes, your creativity.
Yeah, all your neurons. It's probably good for staving off all the brain-related, you know, when you don't use your brain enough, right? Because you're creating new pathways by doing things like this.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's what research does show.
Yes, yeah.
Keeps
so
you young.
You're part of the actual healthcare system then.
That's true. There is a health component in that activity, even an activity of laughing.
Yeah.
That is a healthy mm-hmm. activity.
That's true. I can imagine what it's like there with all the people, all the experience, all the stories. And then, you know, I just know what it's like when you get a group of people that are excited and passionate about life together. It usually dissolves into a lot of laughter. So I can imagine what it's like there.
Oh, we do a lot of laughing around the theater.
That's good. That probably attracts people too. Okay, so before we just get into some important dates, is there anything else that we need to know that might be opportunities for people to get involved? We've already had your open house with your with all your upcoming activities. So this is a chance to get anything else that's happening out there.
In January, on a weekend, the date has not been set yet, but probably the second or third Saturday in mm-hmm. January will be Theater 101, which is 2 hours of finding about everything that's involved in putting on a production, from directing to lighting to tech to auditions to acting.
Yeah, well, that's good because there's a lot of people that have probably been involved with all of those things, but would love to stretch their skills, right? Like to just learn that a little bit more.
It's been a great way into the theater as well. People mm-hmm. come and the sort of the process is demystified about how it all works, and they get a tour of the theater, and often people then come back and want to be involved somehow.
Yeah, okay. All right, so how do people find out about all of this upcoming stuff, all of the events, all of the opportunities, and all of the dates?
Well, it's all on our website, mm-hmm. If it isn't now, it soon will be. And also we have a newsletter called The Prompter that mm-hmm. we'll send out to anybody who signs up. Again, if you go to shoeswaptheater.com, right on the homepage there's a button that says sign up for newsletter or something like that.
Right.
And we'll get you on the mailing list.
Excellent. And then you have a Facebook page, so people can follow that.
Yep. It's good to follow the Facebook page. There's lots of conversational stuff that happens there. It's fun.
Yeah. And I also want to point out that Shoesop Theater is a Shugo partner, which is awesome. Right. So Shugo, if you don't already know, is a ticket subsidy program that the Arts Council runs. They sell tickets to kids age 12 to 21 for $5, and then they're able to use that ticket to go to various live arts events. And then the Arts Council, in turn, reimburses that group their full ticket price, so that the group hasn't decrease their revenue, but they definitely increase their audience, and we give youth an opportunity to access things for only $5. And we really appreciate that the theater is part of that program.
And there's more information about that program on our ticket page, as well as a link to the Arts Center website with more information yet.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that. So the Arts Council also runs the participate page, like that's salmonarmartcenter.ca, and that has a listing by date of upcoming events. And Shoesop Theater's always been very considerate of making sure they let us know about all the upcoming dates for things. So we put it on that page, so that's participate. And we also have a Facebook page, Salmon Arm Arts Center, that you can follow our conversations on, things going on at the Arts Center and all of the various member groups that are connected with us. And there are lots, because we have a lot of creative, amazing people in our community. So thank you so much, you guys. Thank you, Kim McMillan. Thank you, Joyce Henderson, for joining me today. And I just think that you guys are very ambitious and very energetic and a huge asset to the community. Thank you.
And we're having a lot of fun on top of that.
On top of it. It's fun, too. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy, fun, hard work.
Yes, yes. But at the end of the day, you fall into bed with a big smile on your face.
Right.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much.